You are 90 minutes into a cross-country, 300 miles from home. The sky ahead has that milky haze that was not in the morning forecast. Your fuel is fine. Your destination is still reporting visual conditions. Your phone shows nothing alarming. And you think to yourself, I'm already more than halfway there. It will probably be fine. That thought right there is the one that ends flights. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today we are digging into plan continuation bias, what it is, why every pilot has it, and how to build a decision framework before you leave the ground that gives you a fighting chance against it. Before we get into this, a word for our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for pilots at every stage of the journey. Got your first solo? There is a coin for that. Private certificate, instrument rating, commercial, covered. If you know a pilot who just hit a milestone, this is how you mark it with something real. AviationSoul.com. All right, plan continuation bias. The official definition from NASA Human Factors Research goes something like this. The unconscious tendency to continue with an original course of action, even when changing circumstances, should trigger a reevaluation. In plain English, your brain hates changing the plan. And the further along you are in executing that plan, the harder it becomes to change it. This is not a character flaw. This is not a failure of intelligence. This is basic human cognition. We are wired to complete what we start. We anchor heavily to our initial assessment of a situation, and in aviation, that wiring, left unchecked, can kill you. The research goes back decades. NASA has studied it. The FAA's Civil Aerospace Medical Institute has published on it. The Air Force has it embedded in crew resource management training. And when you sit down with the National Transportation Safety Board database and start reading weather-related accident reports, you find the same fingerprints, case after case. The pilot knew conditions were degrading. The pilot made at least one conscious acknowledgement of the concern. And then the pilot continued anyway. So let us walk through a scenario together, because abstract human factors theory is only useful if you can recognize it in your own cockpit. You are a private pilot with about 40 hours of cross-country time. You have been planning this trip for 2 weeks, flying your club Cessna 172 from your home airport to meet family roughly 300 miles away. You filed a visual flight rules flight plan, you got a standard weather brief the night before, and again the morning of. Departure conditions are excellent. Clear skies, light and variable winds, visibility 10 miles. The first hour is exactly what flying is supposed to feel like. You're on 7,500 feet, direct to destination, talking to approach for flight following, and the airplane is doing everything right. Life is good. Around the 90-minute mark, you notice the sky ahead looks a little less sharp than it did at departure. Not clouds exactly, more like a milky haze building along the horizon. You check your weather app. Nothing alarming. The destination is still reporting visibility at 8 miles. The AT still shows visual conditions, and here is where plan continuation bias starts doing its quiet, invisible work. Your brain runs a fast and silent cost-benefit calculation. You have been flying for an hour and a half. You have family waiting. You are more than halfway there. The cost of continuing right now appears low. The cost of turning around or diverting appears very high. Not because it actually is high, but because your investment in the original plan is already substantial. That invisible accounting happens below conscious awareness. You do not decide to continue. You simply do not decide to stop. There is a real difference between those two things, and understanding that difference is the first step toward flying smarter. 40 minutes later, the haze has become a definite ceiling. You can still see the ground. You are not in the clouds. But you have descended from 7,500 to 4,500 following the visibility down. You are 1,000 feet above the terrain. Your margin is shrinking. Visibility ahead is maybe 5 miles. The scenario has changed fundamentally and you have not briefed it. This is the critical moment. The decision that needs to happen is the divert. But plan continuation bias is offering you a different set of thoughts instead. It tells you the destination is only 60 miles away. It tells you conditions might improve. It tells you have come so far already. It tells you turning back means disappointing the people waiting at the other end. Every one of those thoughts is a rationalization, and every one of them is irrelevant to the actual question, which is this flight still safe to continue? So how do you break the pattern? Because knowing about plan continuation bias after the fact does not help you in the cockpit. You need tools you have already loaded before the engine starts. Here is something I want every cross-country pilot to do before their next flight. On the ground, with a cup of coffee as part of your planning. Write down what I call your divert conditions, not the standard pre-flight go or no-go. Those are table stakes. I mean the en route conditions that will automatically trigger a divert, specific ones, not something vague like if it gets bad, actual numbers. Something like, if I'm descending below 4,000 feet above ground level to maintain visual conditions, I divert. If destination weather drops below 3,000 foot ceiling and 5 miles visibility at arrival minus 90 minutes, I divert. If I have not positively confirmed my route's weather picture at the halfway point, I divert. Your specific numbers will be based on your experience, your aircraft performance, and your route, but here is why they have to be set in advance, rather than evaluated in the moment. When you are 3 hours into a flight, when your family is waiting, when you're tired and hungry, and you want to be done flying, the in-cockpit version of you is not the right person to set those thresholds objectively. The research on this is consistent. Pilots who pre-commit to specific divert triggers are significantly more likely to actually divert when those triggers are reached. Pilots who rely on in-the-moment judgment tend to move the goalposts. That is not weakness. That is how human cognition works under commitment pressure. Planning around it is not a workaround. It is a skill. Let me give you one more framework. It comes out of airline crew resource management, and it is sometimes called the 30% rule. When you find yourself generating reasons to continue, assume that 30% of the hazard in the current situation is not yet visible to you, because weather is dynamic. Conditions at your destination may not yet reflect what they will be when you arrive. Your fuel burn and unexpected headwinds may be higher than forecast. Your alternate may be going down. The freezing level may be lower than the forecast showed. You do not know what you do not know. And plan continuation bias specifically suppresses the curiosity that would otherwise prompt you to go find out. Now let me give you a step-by-step decision framework to use when you notice conditions changing in flight. Walk through all five of these in order. Step 1. Stop. Consciously pull yourself out of autopilot mode. Sit up. Put your hands on the controls if they are not already there. Acknowledge out loud what you are actually seeing. Say it. The ceiling is lower than it was 1 hour ago. That is a real change. Step 2. Put all three options back on the table. You can continue. You can divert to an alternate. You can turn around. Every one of those has to stay a live option. The moment you subconsciously remove one, bias has already made your decision for you. Step 3. Evaluate against your preset conditions, not against how you feel, not against how far you have come. If your divert condition was 4,000 feet above ground level and you are at 4,200, you are at the edge of your own threshold. That is when the divert option moves to the front. Step 4. Make the call and brief it aloud. I am diverting to such and such airport. I have this much fuel. Distance is this many miles. Weather there is reporting this. Speaking it out loud does two things. It commits you to the decision, so you stop second guessing it. And if you have a passenger on board, they hear exactly what is happening and why. Step 5 is the one most training programs underemphasize. Debrief the decision after you land. Not to second guess yourself, to understand the mechanics of how the call got made. Was your trigger reached? Did you make the call at the right moment? Or did you wait too long? What rationalization almost fooled you? You're not just flying the airplane, you are training your own judgment. That debrief is how a 40-hour pilot builds the decision-making instincts of a 400-hour pilot. Now, we have been talking about weather because it is the most common context. But plan continuation bias is not specific to weather. It shows up everywhere. It shows up when you taxi out with a squawk you told yourself was probably nothing because your passenger is already seated and you have a reservation at the other end. It shows up when you're getting low on fuel and tell yourself the next airport is only 35 miles further. And the math still works if you trust the best case numbers. It shows up when you have been awake for 16 hours and tell yourself the leg home is only 40 minutes, and you can manage that in every one of those cases. The structure of the bias is identical. You have a plan. You have invested in that plan. And changing the plan feels worse than continuing, even when continuing is objectively the more dangerous choice. The airman certification standards speak directly to this, even if they do not use the phrase plan continuation bias. Under risk management, for the private pilot certificate, the ACS expects you to identify and mitigate personal attitudes and their hazardous effects on aeronautical decision-making. Get there-itis is explicitly named resignation. Invulnerability, these are the attitudes that let plan continuation bias do its worst work. Your examiner on a check ride is watching for something specific. They want to see that when conditions change, you recognize the change, you reevaluate the plan, and you make a new decision based on current information rather than original intentions. Not just as a performance on a check ride. As a habit you have already built. Here is something I wish someone had said plainly when I was training for my private. The best decision you will ever make in an airplane might be the one where nothing dramatic happens. You divert to a small regional airport. You tie down, find a diner across the street, and wait 3 hours for the weather to lift, and nothing dramatic happens. That does not mean it was a routine decision. It might have been the most important flying you did all year. The spectacular saves are what get told at the hangar. The undramatic diverts, the calls made before the situation reached critical. Those are what define a safe pilot over a career. You just never hear about them because there is no story to tell. Let me come back to the scenario I opened with. The pilot 90 minutes in, staring at the gray smear ahead, thinking it will probably be fine. Here is what separates the pilot who makes an uneventful landing at an alternate from the pilot who ends up in a field. It is not experience, exactly. It is not weather knowledge, exactly. It is a preloaded decision. A pilot who, before they ever started the engine that morning, thought through the point at which the original plan would have to be abandoned, and who built the contingency into the flight plan as a real option rather than a theoretical one. That pilot, when the haze becomes a ceiling, and the ceiling starts coming down, already knows what happens next. There is no agonizing, no bargaining, no rationalizing. Just a course of action that was briefed and ready. That is what scenario-based decision-making actually is. It is not the dramatic in cockpit problem-solving that gets romanticized. It is the quiet work on the ground, before you ever leave, that gives you a plan when the airplane stops following the script. The human factors research on planned continuation bias is well documented by NASA, the FAA's Civil Aerospace Medical Institute, and the NTSB. Their reports are freely available and worth your time. More training content at radiohangar.com. Stay ahead of the airplane. I will see you next time.